Bar Halacha and Chagas Halalas, Monday night, early Utes Adar. Maybe people have heard of the din that you're not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laaretz for no reason. We'll see in a second. And you say, well, that's Hilchos of the Mashiach. It can't apply nowadays with the Zionists and everything. But it's really a Beferish Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. It's in the Mishnah Berurah. Talks about the circumstances happens to be the Din Giluach. If you've learned the third parak in Moed Katan, you would know. It's not Nagei of the background. The point is that there's a din that is applicable on Chol HaMoed. If you're coming from a trip, there's a certain kula, but v'hu shalo yotza, there's a mechaber. V'hu shalo, there's man shei beis ha-mikdash kayim. V'hu shalo yotza me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz l'tayel. That's if he didn't go from Eretz Yisrael to chutz la'aretz. Now l'tayel pashta means to tour. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that a trip within Eretz Yisrael or within Chutz Laaretz, so it doesn't have to be a Dvar Mitzvah. You still can apply the leniency of the Shulchan Aruch because it was Shelo Asa Isser B'Seh. This is the Ravid Shita. Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah passing like the way the Ravid learns in the Gemara. Avu Eretz Yisrael l'Chutz Laaretz Eina Muta Ela B'Yotza L'Arviach. You could go out for Parnassah reasons. The maskana of the Achrayim is that it doesn't have to be, if you don't have Parnasa in Eretz Yisrael, it could even be to make money. It's considered a mitzvah. Oh boy, yeah. Liros Pnei Chavero, that's more of a chiddush. Even to visit someone. Liros Pnei Chavero is also called a Dvar Mitzvah, that you could leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laaretz for that. It seems like the only exclusion is Latayel, which is the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, that you're going for touring. Aye, people do go for touring. So first of all, they may not know or they may not care. And second of all, you can always get some sort of heter. Don't worry about it. I needed to relax for my Avodas Hashem. I needed to relax. The best way to relax is to take the phone off the hook and disconnect the computer. That's the best way to relax. Or so the actual heterim, I think Rabbi Avadi Yosef was matarit to go to Kfarim, to go to Kivrei Tzadikim, was matarit, and whatever. There's usually some heter. I mean, if you start to see the flows habore, like that's a big enough heter that you can drive a truck through, you know, because I'm going to see the Alps. Everybody knows they don't know anything about Rav Shamsun Nefel Hirsch, nothing, zero. He wrote Sfarim. They don't know. They just know he said, oh, you're supposed to see the Alps. That's all they know. Okay. And I have to say over for my Rebbe, Rav Avraham Berman, he said, they asked him if the story is true, that he caught guys going away from yeshiva. They went, they said, you know, Rebbe, oh, he says, I don't know if Davis is going to ask if you saw the Alps or not, but he's certainly going to ask if you saw Masachas Erevin. Okay. Okay. We're learning Chavis Halvavus now, and we're in Perek Shlishi of Shara Bechina. He says a very interesting phrase that the Achronim grapple with his meaning. He says, when you're looking at the Bria, not only and he talks about understanding the complexity of the Bria, which nowadays the complexity of the Bria, down to the subatomic level, is like so much, so much more complex than whatever the Chavis Halvavus is talking about, the complexity of the Bria. You know, in his days, they had four basic elements. Wind, fire, offer, but he talks about examining the Bria and examining the Herkiv of the Bria. But then he says to try to understand the Ruchnius of the Bria. And this is very difficult to understand what he means. It's not clear what he means. He could mean the role. He could mean the role everything plays in Avodas Hashem. That would be the Ruchnius of the Bria. He could mean things like the Gemara talks about. You could learn out Tznius Mechasul and Gezo Minamala. There's certain lessons in the Bria that teach us moral lessons. He could mean that. It's not I mean, he's talking about inanimate objects also. It could be just, it means the ruchnius of the Bria, meaning the way it leads you to Hashem, and you see Chochmas Hashem and Chesed Hashem, and that's a ruchniustic thing. You know, not just the mechanics of gravity, but also understanding maybe that this is the Ratzon Hashem, that things should be pulled down. I don't know, maybe something like that. The truth is, in a few paragraphs, he actually compares it to the neshama of a person and the guf of a person. So it could be he just means, I don't know, just, it could be he means not dafka ruchnius in the sense that we understand the word spirituality, but it could mean like the inner, like the life force. In other words, when a scientist looks at something and he analyzes it even, but then when he gets to the end, you say, so like, why? Like, what's ultimately the difference between a live animal and a dead animal, a live person and a dead person? Like, everything's there. Like what? So Teretz is, the neshama left. There's a life force. So maybe ultimately everything has a life force. May not be as sophisticated as a person's. May not be as sophisticated as a Jew's, you know, chelak aloika mimal, or it may not even be nefesh, you know, neshama, nefesh, ruach, but everything has a malach omalo hakei. You know, do you reach the point where you see ruchnius, you know, because there's no reason why it should work. You know, like even if you figure out the physical aspect of it and you get to the end, and then you're left with, but what's the life force behind that? What makes that go? What makes that be? So maybe that's what he means, that you have to always, you can't just, so, but his point would be, and this is what I think he means, his point would be that you can't just, it's not enough to just study it, the physical angle, and then be despoiled over the complexity, but you have to, like, look at it and see that Hashem is making it work. That's the life force, because he compares it later to a guf and a neshama of a person. So I think that's, you know, the neshama, everything has a neshama, everything has a malach, everything has a role, you know, everything has a life force, because or else why should it work? What makes, you know, even after you explain the whole magnetic pull of gravity and you explain it all and you write equations and you could, but what is the mania of that? What makes that work? Like, why should it work? Why should it, what, so you end up with Eibishter. And that's like the neshama of the thing. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow.